go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are, 2 minutes past the hour. Friday on the front porch begins on the horn. The final Friday on the front porch for this long, frozen, miserable, hateful, nasty, vile, and the rest is up to you. February, 27th of February, 2015. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes, this is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home, and that's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room where folks are even now wandering by. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Gerald. Good evening, Texas T. And good evening, longtime veteran, indefatigable, inveterate chat room moderator Sparky in his singular manifestation as Man Cave. So the horn is entirely a listener-supported operation. You know that, but I have to say these things. It is entirely a listener-supported operation that relies upon listener contributions to keep going. We generally try to raise $150 an evening, but this is a repetition of the program note that I've been putting out there for the last week or so. And invariably, even though I've been doing it for a solid week or so, I'll get an email on Friday saying, Bob, where the hell are you? Is this live? But anyway, we've been trying to raise funds in advance, and along the line, we have pretty much kept even with where we need to be for the week and the month. But we're trying to raise money to take care of the fundraising for next week, simply because, yes, I'm going to be broadcasting remotely from the Families USA Radio Row on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. The fine folks at Families USA hosting a Radio Row to coincide with the arguments being had at the Supreme Court of the United States that were occasioned by the fact that, and how am I supposed to view these people as America-loving opposition or patriots or decent human beings? The whole reason that there are arguments in the Supreme Court is because there are millionaires who front the American Enterprise Institute, Competitive Enterprise Institute, the Heritage Foundation, all these right-wing damn think tanks. These millionaires have decided that the people who are getting health care through the federal exchanges in states that did not set up their own exchanges should not have health care anymore through the Affordable Care Act. And the more I think about it, the angrier that makes me. Because, see, we don't have pictures. We've all seen pictures of the Koch brothers now, haven't we? Of course we have. And in large part, that's who's behind trying to take health care away from millions of Americans. So that's where I'm going to be next week, on the road Monday, and broadcasting Tuesday and Wednesday, then on the road either Thursday or Friday, depending on how the weather plays. And so the hope has been, to get far enough out in front to take care of next week's fundraising this week, so that if the, so that since fundraising is going to go like air being let out of a slack balloon, if we can take care of it this week, that makes it that much less stressful next week. Okie doke. And so that's the plan. And so far, we are even with the end of the month. And anybody wanting to jump in is more than welcome. Remember, there's a premium on the table. Carol Baker has kindly offered a Hooterville Holler gift basket, which includes a lovely, lovely choice of beef stick and some wonderful cheese and elderberry jam and a bottle of Mug Up homemade root beer. A gallon, I believe it was, unless I'm getting all of this wrong. For anybody who wants to do a have a show on me and just pitch in $150. So thank you very kindly, one and all, to do that. Thank you in advance, and thank you for those of you who already have. In particular, overnight, thank you to our dear friend Chris in Germany, who did a have a show on me, and thank you to Kelly. Thanks to both of whom, we are absolutely even with where we needed to be coming into this evening. So this evening, if we could raise somewhere around $450, or God knows if we could raise six, it would be awesome. Although that's a little bit, that's a little bit ambitious, I think. But still, worth mentioning. Thank you, Randy, for jumping in early. That is much appreciated. Randy just took care of a third of this evening's fundraising. Now, stop poking me with sticks, Derry. Is this a replay? No. It's just how we always start the show. But anyway, yeah, so anybody wanting to do a have a show on me or any portion thereof is more than welcome. This is, of course, as I mentioned, Friday on the front porch. That means that after I fill a Bobster for a little bit, that we will move over to what we lovingly refer to and sincerely refer to as the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, thereby proving in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that, generally speaking, we ordinary folks are every bit as good or better than the pundits who proliferate like toxic mushrooms after a spring rain and can be found on the Sunday news programs. You know, this week, Meet the Prostitutes this week with Charles Schnuffleupagus, right? Exactly. So we'll get that started, in about 51 minutes. Or so. In the meantime, however, there is an abundance of stuff to maybe throw out on the table for consideration when the extraordinary ordinary roundtable begins. It's impossible not to mention at the beginning of the program that a lot of people have lost a hero today. And I'm speaking, of course, of the death of 83-year-old Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock, to millions upon millions and millions of people across the planet. There's really not much in the way of a valedictory or that I can't add much to. He died at 83 of obstructive pulmonary disorder. He served as Spock on, let's see, the original series, all the movies, some Next Generation episodes, and even on the two reboots, the J.J. Abrams reboots. William Shatner tweeted earlier today, "I loved him like a brother. We will all miss his humor, his talent, and his capacity to love." Zachary Quinto, who played the new Spock on the reboot movies, said, "My heart is broken. I love you profoundly, my dear friend, and I will miss you every day." NASA bade him farewell. With a photo of Star Trek from many years ago, Star Trek cast members standing in front of a space shuttle. R.I.P. Leonard Nimoy. Will Wheaton, who was Wesley Crusher on The Next Generation, "We stood on your shoulders and wouldn't have had a galaxy to explore if you hadn't been there first. Thank you, Leonard. Rest in peace." And then Kevin Smith quoted a line from one of the films, "Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human." Touched a lot of lives. A lot of lives indeed. Light speed, Mr. Spock. Light speed. So that's that. And then there's, you know, the kind of stuff that we spend our ordinary programming on. And we've got, let's just take a big bite out of the hockey puck and get started, shall we? Yeah. It occurred to me to wonder, where's our CPAC? Now, I guess some people would say, "Oh, you must mean Netroots Nation." Nah, I don't mean Netroots Nation. Where is the liberal progressive gathering that signals who is and who ain't somebody inside our little universe? Because this time every year, the right wing gather together in a clavern of weirdness to listen to more outright bizarreness from the right wing political world than most of us can even probably comprehend. And even though he's not going to be a political candidate, CPAC also invites some, I guess, cultural luminaries. Stifle. No, they do. Some cultural luminaries always get invited to participate in CPAC. And sometimes that's where the real bizarre stuff comes from. Oh, I should note, by the way, I mentioned the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that will begin here in a little under an hour. Oh, God, that's true, Gerald. Gerald with a message to me just now. George Soros! George Soros! George Soros! George Soros! Sound familiar? Yeah. Somehow George hasn't funded us a big old gathering of the liberal collectivists. However, you know, for collectivists, we're not collectivizing very well. Meanwhile, over there to the CPAC, they're collectivizing like some bitches. And it would not be CPAC without some culture war luminaries. Enter Duck Doofus. Yes, yes, they invited the Duck Doofus to come and speak to them. Phil Robertson, the man who became a millionaire, selling little things that make noises that make ducks think that people want to have sex with them. Yeehaw! Sure do got a purty beak. You know? And he came there to the CPAC to explain the way of the world to them. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor in welcoming the 2015 Andrew Breitbart, Defender of the First Amendment Award.
No, really?
The Duck Commander himself, Phil Robertson.
Woo! The Breitbart Defender of Freedom Award? That's precious. But anyway, let's listen in. Because this is going to be more fun than a barrel of snakes.
Joined by his incredible wife, Miss Kay.
It's not that there's more of them than there is of us. It's just that nobody on our side wants to fund one of these so that we can propel people who are of progressive, like-minded... No, nobody wants to. And no, it ain't Netroots Nation. I've been to a picnic, a rodeo, and three or four Netroots Nations, and it ain't Netroots Nation. No.
Don't back down.
I'm not sure, but apparently his wife is wearing one of those coats from one of the Star Trek movies. You know, the one where Kirk was out there on with Dr. McCoy on Ruripente, having more alien love with Iman? Yeah, I think he's got Iman's. I think she's wearing Iman's coat.
That's your piece of hardware.
Wow, there's hardware. Oh, that's the Breitbart Medal of Freedom there. Congratulations on that proud pig, Wes. That's the silver sow, Johnny. Right you are.
All of us ought to be able to speak freely where we didn't have to be awarded for it.
And all of us can, and you're still a millionaire, and this thing's off to a rare and romping good start. I mean, you're standing there in front of a whole bunch of people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, you know, birthers, deathers, tenthers, ninthers, booger eaters, birchers, libertarians, repiglickins in general, and oddly enough, the Obama stormtroopers have not yet entered the building to drag everybody away to the FEMA re-education camps and turn them into good Kenyan Muslim socialists.
Right.
Wing.
Miss Kay, hold my award.
Please? No, I guess if you're a right winger, you don't even have to ask your spouse. You can just tell her. Hold my award. Bring me my grits. Where's my government money check?
For you potential candidates.
Oh, Jesus, he's going to address the candidates directly? He's a kingmaker? Quack!
Now look, to keep you out of trouble,
Does he just wring out his beard when he wants a snack? I don't know.
the scandals down, let me give you a little word of advice.
Ooh-wee, Marvelline, he brought his duct tape Bible. You get it? He's the duck commander and he's got a duct tape Bible. Oh, golly, gee, money, he is some kind of clever.
You carry two things with you wherever you go.
Now, wait a minute. You carry two things with you. One of them is a duct tape Bible. Oh. And then you pick your nose. No, really. Just must have had one hanging there. He didn't want it just sort of randomly dropping down into there, down into the duck commanding beard. Sorry, I know it's supper time out there. Scott, Linda, my apologies.
In case one of you gets to be the President of the United States, make sure you carry your Bible with you and your woman.
Your Bible and your woman. What about your gun? Hey, Marvelline, he didn't say you carry your gun everywhere you go. I ain't sure if Phil Robertson, Duck Commander, loves America no more. He didn't say nothing about guns. I might have to just get the duct tape out and strap into the chair myself here. I usually take one for the team, but really?
I'm just saying, safety. You lose your religion according to John Adams, and there goes your morality. We're almost there. In fact, I hate to admit, since I'm giving you the State of the Union address, I hate to admit I got my facts from the CDC day before yesterday.
Oh, no.
110 million.
Yeah.
Americans.
Uh-huh.
Now have a sexually transmitted illness.
Oh, I thought he was going to criticize us for having health care. Well, you're barking up the wrong duck there, Phil, because you're talking to Repiglicans. And we all must remember that wherever the Repiglican National Convention goes, they have to import hookers. And some of the ones that do the really unspeakable stuff just to keep up with the Republican tastes. But then again, you might be talking to the right people. Maybe you can lead them onto the path of righteousness for his name's sake, right?
110 million? I'm looking at it, and I said,
I'm guessing the spirochetes from tertiary syphilis have already gotten to Phil. Maybe that's why they don't let him get around a razor. I don't know.
I don't want you, America, to get sick. I don't want you to become ill. I don't want you to come down with a debilitating disease. I don't want you to die early.
Rearmer!
Disease free. And she's disease free.
Precious bodily fluids.
You marry. You keep your sex right there. You won't get sick from a sexually transmitted disease. Come on!
Quit a slapping of the Bible there. That ain't godly, Phil. Well, you know what? This represents an evolution in right-wing thought. It does. Because where before they were saying, just don't nobody never have sex. Now they're saying, just have sex with somebody that you marry. It's a start. Yeah. every time that I see or hear the duck doofus speak, I'm immediately reminded of this.
Now the time has come to act, and act fast. I'm leaving.
You get back here, you fast. Can I say to Wender, there's no way that nobody is going to leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and that dadgummit, I'm going to die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker-crocker is going to rattle my biscuit cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
Rabbit!
Rabbit!
I think we're all indebted to Gabby Johnson for clearly stating what needed to be said. I'm particularly glad that these lovely children are here today to hear that speech. Not only was it authentic frontier gibberish, it expressed a courage little seen in this day and age.
Rabbit!
It gets a little depressing sometimes when you realize that one side of the political debate has just become a walking self-parody.
Rabbit! Cracker Croaker!
Notice how the applause is kind of tepid for not letting your freak flag fly? Just check that out again.
She's disease free. You marry. You keep your sex right there. You won't get sick from a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay, now here comes the applause. Listen, this is not the uproarious applause of say, some Republicans cheering when, say, Ron Paul suggests that people be allowed to lay dying in hospital hallways for want of health care coverage. This ain't that. This isn't the applause that you get when Rick Perry stands up and starts talking about wanting to set up robotic machine guns on the Rio Grande to just murder the Mexicans as they come across. Mm-mm, this ain't that.
Come on! There is a penalty to be paid. From what the beatniks and it morphed into the hippies. You say, what do you call the 110 million people who have sexually transmitted illnesses? It's the revenge of the hippies.
Says the guy with hair down to his shoulders, a headband around his poor little soft noggin, and a beard down to his nipples.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll have come back to haunt us.
Yeah, if only everybody was listening to good, upstanding, God-fearing duck call music or something, yeah, whatever.
In a bad way. I report, you decide.
Yeah, see, even they know that the Fox motto is a damn joke. He got a better response on that than he did to quit having sex with farm animals.
I mean, I'm reading this stuff from the CDC. And it says, how many sexual encounters does one have to catch a sexually transmitted illness? It said one. I'm like, you know, figure out the odds on that one.
Well, you know, it certainly worked for you, Phil.
How many seconds does it take to get genital herpes? It said 30 seconds. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, must have took him at least 33.
You want a godly, biblical, medically safe option? One man, one woman, married for life. And if you hate me because I told you that, I told you my love for you is not contingent on how you feel about me. I love you anyway. I don't want you to see you die early or get sick. I'm trying to help you, for crying out loud. America, if I didn't care about you, why would I bring this up?
Because you're at CPAC and you thought it would play with the rubes? Is that what he said, Isaac? I just got a tweet from Isaac. Did he say you can't get sex from a sexually transmitted disease? River! Oh, it was a fun day to the CPAC. I got to start marking this on my calendar. This is some precious stuff. Because after at some point in the day, not only did Duck Doofus speak in the 24th and a half century, they then brought on Jebby, son of Barbara. You know, dim leader looks like Daddy. Jebby looks like Mama. I know. There will be nightmares. It's okay. He has them all the time. Jebby! Jebby! Of course, Mama even said they'd need another Bush president. But, you know, oh, well. Addressing the CPACers, he said, practicing reform-minded conservative. And he asked the mouth breathers, mouth walkers, and knuckle breathers to consider him their second choice. Because, and this should just absolutely fill you with a sense of horror and dread, most of them there to the CPAC have migrated over into the Scott Walker camp. You know, Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin. Scott Walker, whom just about everybody who's ever known has been indicted. Scott Walker, who made his bones, if you will, out of attacking working people for daring to want to utilize their First Amendment freedom of association rights to form unions. Poor old Jebby had to import some supporters. They came into the CPAC auditorium just before he did. But then a whole bunch of CPACers got up and walked out. But see, that's the problem. They didn't walk out on Jebby because he's toxic for America. They walked out on Jebby, if you can imagine, just to give you an idea of the tenor of this place. They walked out on Jebby because he isn't weird enough. He doesn't holler, "Brooga brooga, immigrants, brooga brooga," enough. He's not bizarre enough. He's not teabaggy enough. Right-wing radio TV darling Laura Ingraham even went so far as to say that the CPACers just couldn't see a whole devil of a lot of difference between Jebby and, wait for it, Hillary Clinton.
Why don't we just call it quits and let Jeb and Hillary run on the same ticket? I'm designing the bumper sticker. It could be Clush. What difference does it make?
And he pissed him off some more by saying that that U.S. Americans should be more accepting of immigrants to our culture, such as it is. Yeah. Of course, Jebby kind of has to do that because his lovely wife would not think too well of him if he hollered, "Send them all back!" Like the Republicans want everybody to holler, because then he'd have to send his wife back. And probably, you know, and I'd say a good half of the Republican caucus probably thinks that Jeb's children are anchor babies. Mother Bush.
Jeb!
Mother Bush called them back in the heyday. Mother Bush called them
the little brown ones.
Yeah. He tried to woo them a little bit by saying he supports traditional marriage. And he also got around to saying, I don't favor the marijuana myself now that I've quit smoking it and bullying people with it while I was in the Andover Academy prep school there. But you know what? States' rights! Ooh-wee. Party on. Note coming from Steve. Subject line. Time warp. Hippies? Says Steve. Hippies? What the? Yeah. Hippies. We were calling ourselves freaks where I grew up in 1972. Oddly enough, that word even made it down to Alabamistan, because I remember that being part of the linguistic coin of the realm. Freaks. Yeah. Was that because of or was the comic a reflection of? You remember the fabulous furry Freak Brothers. Hippie. And don't forget the beatniks. Of course, doofus that Duck Doofus is, he failed to note that Jack Kerouac, who was considered by many the father of the beatniks, Jack Kerouac, who died in 1969 after sitting down and gobbling up a full 1 pound can of tuna and had some sort of a god-awful aneurysm or rupture or something, he had pretty much drunk himself to death. Jack Kerouac was a fan of the Vietnam War. But see, little cultural details like that don't matter to Repiglicans, to your average garden variety birther, deather, ninther, tenther, bagger, booger eater. No, hell no. It's just dog whistling. God almighty. Can you imagine what it must be like to cover that thing? Not everybody. Not every birther, deather, ninther, tenther, bagger, booger eater can be at CPAC, however. Some of them have to stay home. Some of them just have to stay there in Oklahoma-stan and do their best to protect America from the Muslims. Very true. Very true, News Ninja Carol Baker. The only way I'd cover CPAC, Carol says, is with kitty litter. Hear, hear. So, just like practically any other state in the union, the state of Oklahomistan has no small number of Muslims. Many of them are, in fact, professionals, physicians, scientists, and they have children. And they had them a rally. And you want to talk about courage? This takes courage. They had a rally at the Oklahoma Capitol today. The purpose of their rally at the Oklahoma Capitol was to promote religious tolerance. You know, not hating people just for whatever whatever variety of invisible friend that they have. Or what they call their invisible friend. Well, at the beginning of their rally, they did what most any good Merkin does. They had a singing of the national anthem via the Tulsa World. Shall we check in?
Allah, your pedophile leader.
And yeah,
lift up
every
hand and kill the man. Think about that. Hold them hands up high when you think about that.
Go home, go home. Where? To Tulsa? Jesus. Oh, and they brought their signs, too. Yellow like their snake flags. Go burn like the Jordanian pilot, says one. R.I.P. 21 Christians slaughtered. And they brought their Merca flags. Isn't that special? Yeah. The event was organized by the Oklahoma chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations. The Interfaith Alliance of Oklahoma signed off on it as well. It was called Oklahoma Muslim Day at the Capitol. And yes, they screamed, "Your prophet is a pedophile. Go home." Yeah. Right wing pig licking representing John Bennett of Oklahoma stand has called Islam a cancer in our nation that needs to be cut out. He attended the protest rally at which, during which the epithets and insults you just heard screamed were screamed. Now remember, those are the people who think they're good Americans, and the people who were not screaming vulgarities are the bad Americans. Gets a little confusing after a while, doesn't it? Mm. And they can't even shut up during the singing of our national anthem, because it ain't really our national anthem if a Muslim's singing it. See how it works? Damn. By the way, I wanted to make sure we caught up with this one little bit of news, if you will.
Oh,
by the way, the tree of just in case anybody doesn't know, the Tree of Liberty got watered again last night. This time it was watered with the blood of 7 innocents. This time in Missouristan. Because, you know, freedom.
Wolverines!
Right? Because the goddess of irony never takes the day off, because she is always paying attention, the killing took place in Texas County, Missouri. This is being referred to as a door-to-door shooting spree. Yeah, I don't like shooting spree anymore. This feels more like a door-to-door killing frenzy. NBC News reporting a gunman killed 7 people. A gunman? Yeah, that's another word we can do without, too. A murderer, or perhaps how would we phrase this? A proponent of the Second Amendment killed 7 people, 4 of whom were family members of the killer, in a door-to-door shooting spree in Missouri yesterday, before then killing himself. Apparently, the murderer lost it and fell apart and decided to get all homicidal when he found Mama dead. Mama apparently died of natural causes, but when Joseph Jesse Aldridge, aged 36, found Mama sitting dead at home, he decided to take up his Second Amendment remedies. Yes, that is a much better word, News Ninja Carol Baker. He was a terrorist. This was down in Tyrone, Texas County, Missouri, about 90 miles east of Springfield and not too terribly far, about 1 county north of the Oklahoma line. Seventy-four-year-old Alice Aldridge was found dead. She'd been dead for about 24 hours before authorities found her last night. County coroner Tom Whitaker said that could be that Joseph Jesse Aldridge, 36 years old, could be that when he found Mama, that's what sent him on his murder frenzy. We're talking about 6 different crime scenes in a 3-mile radius there in Tyrone, Missouri, Stan. It all went down just after 10 p.m. Central Time, 11 Eastern. A girl, referred to in journalism speak as a juvenile female, called 911 after she had run away from her own house. Husband and wife Daryl Aldridge and Julie Aldridge. Husband and wife Harold Aldridge and Janelle Aldridge. That would apparently be Joseph Jesse's brothers. He went ahead, I guess, just for good measure, and killed 3 folks who weren't part of his family. The little girl, young woman, juvenile female, said she heard shots in her home. and that's where two people were found dead. Five more found dead in three other residences. Yeah. One person was injured at the scene. Everybody knows everybody there in Tyrone, Missouri. Texas County Sheriff James Sigmund said, "Everybody knows everybody here. Start locking your doors. The world is changing." I don't know if that's fair. The world is changing. I don't think the world's changing. I think America is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. But again, it's not as though this disease is without diagnostics. You want to know why people are going apeshit with firearms all over the country? It has to do with the fact that firearms are easier to get than fishing licenses all over this country. And a darn sight easier to get than a driver's license. Right. And for that, we have the National Republican Rifle Association to thank, and Gun Owners of America. Bang, bang, shoot, shoot. Because we don't dare offend the people with all the guns, or else they'll come and shoot us. Right, smart, hard to stomach, isn't it? Yeah. Well, this week, thanks to never mind. Thanks to a lot of people, comes to a sorry end, especially in Tyrone, Missouri. Your heart aches. You see, I don't know if the two married couples, you know, one man, one woe man, that got blown away by their brother. I don't know how they felt about firearms. But I do know that apparently, even if they were pro-Second Amendment freedom protectors, it didn't do them any good to have a bunch of guns. Because they was just sitting there watching, watching the wrestling or America's Got the Fantods or whatever was on the TV box. And in comes Joseph Jesse. Cancel Christmas. Where was the good guy with the gun here? Nine people dead. And not just like he opened up with his assault rifle and bang, 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 you know, as quick as he can pull the trigger at, say, a political rally full of liberals. No, he went from one house to the next. One after another. And I bet you, Texas County, Missouri, and with a name like Texas County, you know they gotta be serious about their Second Amendment rights, otherwise Texas would write to them and demand that they cease and desist in calling themselves Texas County. I mean, this is the rural foothills of the Ozarks. This hillbilly country. And I don't say that pejoratively. I'm a hillbilly. So you got to figure there was just gun. Everybody got guns. But unfortunately, unless you are just sitting there with your freedom protector pointed at the door all the time, well, when baby brother loses his shit because he's done found mama dead, you're not going to get the drop on him when he comes through the door to dispense some rough Second Amendment love. Damn. This country. Oh, by the way, it was all white folks. In case you was wondering. You weren't wondering. So, we'll take a break. And the Skype bat signal is lighted. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, the way that you do this is to send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk on Skype. And he'll add you to the group, and you'll be part of the conversation when it begins. We are trying to raise more than our usual amount of funds this evening, and we are $50 toward it. Thank you, Randy. We need to raise at least 100 more. It would be nice if we could raise 250 more. Even better if we could raise 400 more. Because we're trying to take care of fundraising for next week. Because I'll be on the road. And yeah. Live programs, noon to 3 on Tuesday and Wednesday. Also, the incomparable Guy James live on the horn. And it will all be replayed in the regular time slot afterward. So anybody, and a reminder that anybody who wants to participate in have a show on me, well, you'll get a premium courtesy of News Ninja Carol Baker, a Hooterville Holler gift basket, which you will enjoy, I suspect, very much. All you have to do is make sure I've got your mailing address when you send in the contribution. But it doesn't have to be a have-up show on me. Don't sit around waiting because you think, well, gosh, I don't have $150 laying around. It all counts, and it all goes toward keeping the lights on here because we exist from month to month to month. And to be fair, we've managed to do that for 10 long years now. But it does wear the hide kind of threadbare from time to time. The PayPal interface is under the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. So we'll take enough of a break to let Sparky get the Skype group fired up, and then we'll come back with your observations, your comments, the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that is Friday on the Front Porch here at the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Takes a shot of the best son.
5 minutes past the hour, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock here on the in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. This is the Horn, Friday on the Front Porch. And, well, we've got the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable coming together. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bob.
How in the world are you?
I'm just fine. I'm not in a terrible start of the show mood like you are been all this month.
What do you mean?
Spring has sprung here.
Oh, wait, where's Gerald?
Shut it, Sparky.
Thank you.
I mean, today's the grayest day we've had. I haven't got a
shut
little
it, Sparky.
Tinkling
That's
on the
two.
Roof.
Somebody's tinkling on your roof?
A little rain on the roof this afternoon.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe
metal roof of the man cave.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was those troublesome neighbor children.
Okay. nothing like a little rain on a metal roof. No, they can't reach that high.
it wasn't terrible. Well, it wasn't great either. We got down to about, like 10 last night. And tonight's going to be a real party. Tonight we're looking for an overnight low of, he said, trying to find the right app. We're looking for an overnight low of 7. But then we get, Monday's overnight low is 18. Next Thursday's overnight low, and that, by the way, is going to be March by then, 12. Friday overnight low, 19. Jesus, this is getting silly.
Just don't everybody throw snowballs at me.
And by the way, my geography sucks. What was I saying that it was dead to Texas County? Carol, you're supposed to catch me on this. Texas County, 2 counties up from Oklahoma. Bullshit. It's 2 counties up from Arkansas. Right?
Yes,
okay.
But... can't interrupt you all the time.
Well, but I felt real stupid because, I mean, well, I just felt real live, honest to goodness, stupid there.
If that's the worst thing that happens today, we got it made.
Well, that's true. That's true. By the way, Isaac pointing out that of the shooting, a resident said he probably killed 10% of the town's population last night.
20.
20?
There's 50 people in that town, Bob. 50 people live in the town.
God Almighty. Because freedom.
Because Jesus.
I mean, you might be being a little closer to it. I mean, are there any follow-up stories saying that Joseph Jesse had a history of mental illness or anything like that, or the usual he was kind of a loner and kept to himself or any of that stuff?
He's just upset because his mama passed.
Well, I think that's okay. I mean, we get that way, but most of us don't go shoot the family.
You haven't met my family, Bob.
I walk it off.
Oh, my God. I have a feeling this is going to be a great meeting of the minds evening. We have Tracy and Carol Baker in the same room at the same time.
Thanks, Obama.
And this is getting real interesting real fast. In the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, we have Gerald, we have Carol Baker, we have Larry, we have Tracy, we have Haley, we have Barbie. We have, of course, Duncan, and we have Carol Abel as well, coming to us live from Australia. And over on the Skype line, we have, over on
Kevin.
The Gizmo line.
And?
Kevin.
And Bill.
Oh, Bill, that's you?
Yeah, you're getting two for the price of one over here. Two at eight.
Oh, hey, wait a minute.
Buddy.
Oh, okay. So you guys, y'all been doing some sideline tech. We got Kevin and Bill on the Skype line.
Yep. Yes.
Well, I'll be dead.
Part of the century, buddy.
Well, that's pretty interesting. By the way, we just had a note. Kate out on the front range enjoyed the bumper, the Scissor Sisters. And Take Your Mama. It seemed appropriate in a macabre sort of way. I hope I won't, you know, smoke too big a turd in hell for that bumper, but, you know. Yeah.
So, I'm watching the news this morning, and so I guess they identified Jihadist John.
Yes.
And so we had this. And see, you know, I don't pay attention to a lot of stuff, but there was the senator or somebody from Maine that said he better not buy green bananas. And so maybe I looked at Jan and said, baby, is that a white thing? What does...
Lost on this white boy.
You know, what does that mean, that he better not buy green bananas? And she's like, baby, I don't know. So, of course, I went to the wonderful World Wide Web.
Yes.
And if you ain't going to live long enough to see
the bananas ripen. Thank
you. Oh. Got it.
And so I was like, oh. Okay. So they're making cracks about this man, you know, now that they apparently know who he is. Doesn't matter if they know who he is. They got to find him first, right?
Well, there's that, and considering that everybody walks around with masks on their faces, wearing the same basic black, you know, basic black apparently works for every occasion in the Middle East. Doesn't really matter who you're slaughtering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's because of slimming.
It's slimming. Hell, if I could have gotten away wearing black on my wedding, I would have worn black on my wedding because it is slimming.
No, because Jan would not would no that no. No, I don't think
so. I didn't do it. You see, I wore bright pink. It's like, hey. I went all girly on the whole wedding thing. So that guy said, yeah, you better not buy any green bananas. And I listen to stuff, and then I walk out the door screaming. Because I can tell you, every morning, I tell you last night, I said, invariably, I am walking out the door to go to work and to get behind the wheel, and I hear something some crazy-ass white person says, and I'm like, I told Jan from at some point she will not be able to, while I'm in the house, getting ready to leave the house, she cannot watch the news until I'm out the house. It has to go on mute, because then I start screaming, and then I got to calm down, and so because then I got to start driving. I my patience is wearing thin, Bob. I think it comes with old age, isn't it? The older you get, the less patience we have.
No, I think it's the more you know.
Or the older you get, the less tolerant you are of bullshit.
There, that.
Okay.
I mean, okay, I'm just guessing.
You can smell it. I mean, when back in my dating days. If I caught the latest whiff of bullshit from anybody, I was done.
Yeah, that relationship had reached its end.
Yeah, it's like, and that was usually before the end of the first date. I'm a very hard person, Bob. I don't have time for stupidity, and I really don't have time for bullshit.
Well, don't try to bear that cross all by yourself, Tracy. I would say that generally speaking, within the Horn Family Commune congregation, there's a whole bunch of people that do not suffer fools gladly. I know Miss Carol hadn't got 10 seconds for him, right? Either Miss Carol.
Oh, I think 10 seconds is generous. I usually call them on their bullshit before they finish.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. Before they even, I get to the point now when they even start to open their mouths, I'm just like, just stop. I never told you the story of how I reamed the people at Alfred Angelo New Buttholes. because they got the color wrong. My wife's, Jan's maid of honor's dress was the wrong color.
No.
And I didn't find this out until the day of the wedding. And so I basically, when they were trying to explain themselves, and I said, just shut up. Don't speak until I tell you to do so. Right now, I'm talking, and you will listen. So that was my, yeah, they fucked up so bad that I went straight up Bridezilla from hell on these women, on this woman. Because it's my wedding day, and the maid of honor's dress is wrong. And they can't understand why I'm upset. You know, little things like that. So, long story short, they made right, and I basically told them that they had 3 hours to get to Palos Verdes to get the dress right, and they did it. But it was kind of, I've never yelled at people like that before. It was, you know what?
It's a little cathartic sometimes, especially if you know that you are justly in the right.
Yes. When you know that you are justly in the right, you have the whole righteous indignation going, the whole, you know, coming down from the mountaintop to whoop your ass. If it's not done right. Yeah, I scared people. I scared Jan. She has heard me lose it, and she has heard me go off on her. But she said that even in the 3 years that we have been together, and she had never seen anything like that. Bob, I didn't even know I could get that ugly. I did not know. I think a lot of it had to do with because I was yelling at a white woman, too. It made me feel a little better, too.
At least, at least you're honest enough to say that. But let's now. I mean, we got to bear some things in mind. According to Duck Doofus there at the CPAC, because you didn't marry a man. They 110 million's got a 110 million Americans got sexually transmitted disease.
Say so what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only way not to get a sexually transmitted disease is for one man to marry one woman.
Okay.
You'd like to yell at Duck Doofus, wouldn't you?
Because
I'd buy tickets. I'd sell tickets.
This man, when you say Duck Doofus, are we talking about Duck Doofus as far as Duck Dynasty Doofus?
Yeah, Phil Robertson.
And who are family? I'm about to get graphic.
Now, just remember, it's supper hour in some places.
Okay, no, I'm not going to get that ugly. But every time I had to spread eagle for my doctor because there was something not working the right way, and it wasn't because I slept with a woman. That's all I got to say.
I understand. Yeah, well, you know, there's some more of that intelligent design. Oh, Gerald.
Because last time I checked, never mind. Go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say, Gerald, that sounds like a Thanks Obama moment to me.
Thanks Obama.
What's the Thanks Obama moment? What am I missing?
Satire.
Yeah, I mean, just anything that doesn't go right now. Gerald is usually a little bit quicker on the draw with a Thanks Obama.
Yeah, your toast got burnt this morning.
Thanks Obama.
Just don't say anything. Say anything about the weather, Tracy.
Shut it, Sparky.
See what happens.
Oh, you mean that is... Let me turn on... Let's see, what's the temperature right now?
She's going to do it anyway.
She is, isn't she?
63 degrees right
now. See?
See how it works?
I think it's awesome. You know what? If it wasn't for... It's upsetting to me that you guys are going through this, because you guys are going through this craziness because of the climate change deniers, and since they won't do anything about it, so my friends and family has to suffer through this bullshit, because we got people that say, oh, it's not because of climate change, it's just, you know.
I got a snowball.
On the Senate floor.
Did you see White House's takedown of Senator Snowball?
No. Did it? Really? He responded?
Oh, you haven't seen the video? I'll email it to you.
Oh, cool, 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 cool. And
what happened? Somebody jumped in his ass about the snowball thing.
Yeah, maybe Bob can play the sound.
Oh, hopefully, yeah. Before we get too far, after the program last night, Barbie and I had a little conversation, and Barbie's with us in the Extraordinary Ordinary Round Team. And I wanted to make a point of specifically inviting Barbie on just to kind of share what's going on in her world right now. You there, Barbie?
I'm here.
Okay, so you want to just take it from the top?
Well, I have this burning. Why it's bad for ISIS to kidnap our kids, but it's okay for the United States Department of Defense to take them.
And so that nobody knows where they are. And you want to give a little bit of a backgrounder on that, Barbie?
Well,
in 1 1/4 miles,
I'm driving. I gotta wait a second.
To stay on I-35 North.
Okay.
I-35.
No. Okay, we have to translate. No, we have to translate that into Southern California speak for Tracy, and for all the Southern Californians. She's on the 35.
Stop making fun of us, Bob. That's not nice.
That's all right.
The thing is, I just wonder what y'all call two-lane roads. Or do you have any left?
We do. But they're not highway.
Super highway. You know what they call them here in West Virginia, right?
Super highway.
Two-lane. That's the hard road.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's... That's the hard road.
The hard road.
Yeah.
Whereas I imagine most of it's in West Virginia's hard road. Because they ain't no easy ones.
Yeah, I said before, you don't measure the distance in miles. It's time, you know.
Yeah. Where are you? About 2 hours away. And he is in Appalachistan. Being about 2 hours away could be 15 miles. So,
You're kidding me.
No. No. 30 miles? Yeah.
So, Barbie, where are you?
I am in Minneapolis, heading north.
Okay. So, tell a story.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, last weekend, this has just been a bad, bad week for me altogether. But last weekend, we get a phone call from our oldest son, who is supposed to be in Des Moines at training, guard duty. And come to find out, he's in California somewhere.
To stay on I-35 anymore.
And he couldn't tell us where he was. They aren't allowed to tell us. And he's going to be there for the next 3 to 4 weeks. And my suspicions are that they're getting ready to do something. Perhaps go to the Middle East. Who knows?
Continue ahead for 18 miles. Then take it.
And we haven't heard from him since.
On the right for USA.
So one phone call. Hi, Ma. Can't tell you where
exactly.
I am. Goodbye now.
Yep, exactly.
And he's already
Yeah, he's got to go.
Please.
If they say go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't tell him no.
No. He's got a government job, and the only way to keep that government job is to do what he has to do what they tell him to do. If they say, you're heading over to Iraq, he's heading over to Iraq.
I don't know how you do it. Jan and I were talking. She was saying about Alex joining the military, and I just looked at her. I said, are you fucking kidding me with this? She's like, well, he needs to do... I said, first of all, do you know what country we live in? I said, you know, we live in a country where they don't, I said, if this country actually cared about their veterans and whatnot when they came back and didn't and gave them the stuff that they were supposed to give them, I would have slightly less of an issue. But because we're in this country that we decide that we could go shoot and kill people just at will, and like Bob said, send somebody else's sons and daughters over there to do the dirty work, I'm not having it. You can't have my child. That won't happen. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I got that. Hi, folks. Tracy, are you doing better?
Yeah.
Hold up, Larry. Hold up.
Wait, Larry, don't worry about me, Larry. Let's finish what they're talking with Barbie talk about.
Yeah, let's try to stay with this for a minute.
I'm sorry.
Barbie, and I don't want to take your attention away from the road or anything because
I'm riding. I'm not driving.
Oh, okay. So you can be distracted. And we're very good at that. So just for comparison purposes, you told me earlier that your son had done 2 tours in the Middle East.
That's correct.
How does this compare with what they did the last time they shipped him, or the last 2 times?
Well, the last one I thought was the worst. We did get him home, but I wasn't sure we were gonna. He drove, I don't know if you know what a great big transport truck looks like.
Yes.
They're just gigantic. I would look like an ant next to one. And they were in a convoy going through Mosul, and he heard and yelled, RPG, everybody out. And he got all of them out, but they had to lay there and wait for somebody in the convoy to stop or to slow down enough. And finally he said, this is the last truck, guys. He said, you all got to get up and run or we're not going to make it out of here. And he wrote just, and he's not a writer, but he wrote us the most poignant letter about this whole thing.
And so does this smell a
it's
little?
It's hard for me to talk about.
Well, no, I understand, Barbie. I understand, and I don't want to, I don't want to trigger anything. But I figure if you're going through this, there's a whole bunch of people in that unit in Iowa going through this, and it probably means there's a whole bunch of people all over this country going through this, moms and dads and brothers and sisters and children,
exactly.
Children, you know, where'd mommy go? Why is daddy not here?
That's exactly right.
And
what's the unit? What's the job of the unit? Can I ask that question?
I think with him, he is a weapons specialist. So my suspicions are that they had him driving transport trucks the last time. Who knows what his job's going to be this time. But what he does here is he goes from base to base and he inspects weapons and whatnot. And that's basically all I know about what he does.
Well, and the larger...
Well, was he called up for a permit?
No. This came as a total shock to all of us. He was supposed to be training like he does every week.
But just a weekend.
Right, just the weekend.
And it's how long is it?
Well, he told us that he's going to be there for 3 or 4 weeks, but he didn't go in and tell us any further because he couldn't.
Well, the only place I can think of in California would be is the Desert Training Center.
Well, they have the proving grounds there, but I don't. He didn't say, and I have no idea if they have any other military bases out there.
My stepson used to go down there back in the late 80s and stuff and play war games.
Yep.
I'm just pissed off because there are so many parents out there that probably don't know anything about this.
Well, yeah, and that was exactly my point, Barbie. And see, I want to think that President Obama is not quite as hopelessly damn dumb and bloodthirsty as George W. Bush was.
I want to believe he's not.
Right. But the thing is, you've got it's hard to turn it, and you know as well as I do, Barbie, and everybody else does. It's hard to turn on the television right now without seeing, oh, I don't know, cranky old John McCain or, mercy sakes, Lindsey Graham, they're going to get us all killed. Or some other chicken hawk, wanting to send somebody's kid over there, and you know, sooner or later that begins to have a cumulative effect. I mean, that green banana comment that Tracy told us about, you know, that was a guy senator from Maine, was it, Tracy?
And I don't know. I didn't see the guy's name because, like I said, it took me a minute to get. I was like, what the hell is the green bananas? Because Janet, like, green fucking bananas. What the hell? And then I just saw independent and Maine.
Oh, that's Angus King. That's Angus King, which is really disturbing because Angus King is generally fairly sane, and he's hollering. But then again, maybe he was manifesting, you know, my attitude. The minute they get here, there's going to be a problem. But they're going to have to row for quite some time. Because I'm sorry, they're just, you know, there aren't any, you know, Air ISIL isn't leaving with the direct daily nonstops to JFK from Aleppo every day. No, it ain't happening.
I've got an impression, Bob, from that story you told about the parade there in that city. I can't think of the name of the city.
Narva, Estonia.
I've gotten the impression that the military is doing things, even though Obama's supposed to be the commander-in-chief, there's a lot being done that either Obama doesn't know about, or they're doing it in spite of. I can't believe something like that, what you described yesterday. Once the president learned about it, there wouldn't be some sort of action being taken to make sure it never happens again, and that apparently is not the case.
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there right now, Kevin, to kind of give us pause. I just got a breaking news alert via the New York Times that one of the most vocal critics of Vladimir Putin just happens to have been gunned down in his tracks last night in Moscow, almost within sight of the Kremlin. Boris Y. Nemtsov, who had been a minister under Boris Yeltsin, who had sat in the Duma, which is one of the two houses of Russia's parliament, and has of late been leading opposition rallies against Vladimir Putin, was walking across Bolshoi Kameny Most, that's a bridge, south of the Kremlin, the New York Times says, when a passing vehicle fired on him, people in a passing vehicle fired on him at least seven times. Apparently, Vladimir Putin's security services are rounding up the usual suspects.
Well, Putin is—he's got. What are we doing, parading our army in their face? That's my problem with it. You don't do that. I mean, if the Russians still own Alaska and mass troops
the Mama Grizzly would take them out, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. She'd get a helicopter and wonder why it would just disappear around her.
Well, this particular assassination took place only a couple of days before he was supposed to lead another protest rally. And he has said in the past that he figured Vladimir Putin would at some point in time, sooner or later, have him bumped off because, you know, that's just the way they do things there. Once an old KGB spook, always an old KGB spook.
Well, if anybody thinks that we're going to go to war with Russia, they got their ass up there. Their head up their ass, because nuclear weapons don't give a shit about anybody. You're gone, I'm gone, they're gone, we gone, everybody's gone. And that's, you know, what bothers me is this war in the Middle East. But on the other side, this guy that runs his mouth over there, so the so-called head whopper, we have a captured bad guy. I set him in a room with continual lights and having to listen to the liquor supply officer.
Oh, you're vicious.
24 hours a day he has to listen to that stuff. Religious fanaticism, I don't give a damn what religion is. I don't need it. So anyway, that's my story anyway. I mean, self-defense is one thing, but why would we be over this? Whose idea is it to agitate these guys when we're already involved in a mess?
Well, see, we let Latvia and Estonia into NATO.
That was a mistake.
And therefore, we feel like we've got some duty to show the Ruskies that we're serious about our allies.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
And you know...
How serious are we supposed to be?
Well,
are we going to light up the world over this, though?
One wonders.
That's serious.
And the thing is, with what Barbie was talking about a minute ago, it don't necessarily have to be Syria.
Yep.
We're things are hotting up real good all over.
Well, in the Middle Eastern situation, a fanatic is a fanatic, whether he's a follower of Muhammad or Jesus or Moses or anybody. Right.
You know, save us from your followers. Muhammad, save us from your followers. Jesus, save us from your followers. Moses, save us from your followers.
Yeah.
Krishna, Vishnu, save us from your followers.
I don't know. How can we even think threatening the Soviet,
the
Russian?
See how easy that is?
You said think. What's wrong with you? I'm sorry. That was an outburst. I apologize.
No, that's okay. Testify, Tracy.
It's like, you said think. You said think. You're talking about a group of people who don't think. They don't care to think. Because if they actually, because what would be more upsetting to me, I live in a land that I'm just feeling that they're just stupid and assholes. And that they don't think about these things, because then because I do realize that most of them actually think about these things before they say it and still do the things that they do, which troubles me more, because it's the ones that sit around and actually think about this shit, they're the scary ones, because they're thinking that they're doing the right thing, that this is, you know, because why? Jesus. Because why? Money. But mostly because why Jesus? And money. So when you use that word think, Bill, you're using it on people who don't think.
Yeah. And money is a big problem. Money has motivated people to more things that I would hate to care about.
Well, if you think about it, again, there's that word. If we had a good war between us and Russia, what would be the first thing to go in this country besides our troops? What's left of free speech? What's left of any type of civil rights? All in the name of security.
Yep.
And that's what
see, one thing to fight a bunch of guys with that have AK-47s, and it's sure a hell of a difference, Kevin, to pick a fight with people that have the ability. I mean, people don't realize the Russians still have missiles. They still have a hydrogen bomb. I can say nuclear weapons. A hydrogen bomb is the one now. The atomic bomb, that's old school, buddy. Yeah.
That's the thing. You don't have to have a nuclear war for these one percenters. They make money off war.
Absolutely right, sir. Yep.
Even better if you can control two of the top nations in the world and take away, strip away what's left of freedoms in both of the countries, all in the name of security.
Yeah. Well, somebody pushing the wrong button, now there's nothing to worry about anymore. Because I'm not going to go down and make them put my head between my legs and kiss my ass goodbye. You know, I always did that when I was a kid.
Duck and cover.
Yes, and you grab that center post that comes off the bottom right underneath the inkwell.
Okay, now see, there's a substantial portion of people listening who might very well need the word inkwell explained. Sparky.
Hello.
The desk used to be all one piece, and they had a big, like, chest deal where you could keep your books and everything, and it open up. But then in the very center of it, prior to World War II or whatever, they had a hole in the where the hinge on the desk was for the inkwell.
Well, Sparky, you were out there servicing those B-52s, and when there was a potential for the whole thing to start in the last Arab-Israeli war.
Bill, I've been up close and personal with 20 megaton hydrogen bombs.
Yep. Well, I'd have nothing else to worry about, wouldn't we? We'd have nothing to worry about. I can quit worrying about the car payments, you know, the house payment or whatever. Even the loan companies can't come and get some money after when none of us are here, you know. And that's what bothers me, because the Middle East is a problem. It's been a problem since the end of World War One. It's been a dangerous place. And my first wife and I, being Jewish, we always said that they should.
Well, only because we don't leave
Miami Beach. People will find something to fight about.
Well, you know, when you have a bunch of people who decide that because the Bible says so, that they're going back to their home country, and even though there were people living there already, and then you take those people who were living there already and say, well, you got to leave, or we'll leave, or you can have this little bit of stuff.
Oh, yes, that's a big problem over there. I'm not a
and then you
guy
have the people over here.
Yeah, one at a time, guys. It makes for a much better conversation.
And then you have our Jesus freaks over here. I'm sorry. And then you have the Jesus freaks over here that try, you know, that are trying to, you know, get Armageddon started by, you know, forcing the issue. And I'm like, Jesus don't need no help, y'all. When he decides to come back, he's going to come back. We don't need you to force the situation, you know, when the Jews go back, you know, coming back to Israel. It's like, oh, my Jesus Christ. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands.
Kate once would have said, made her want to pull her dress up over her head and run screaming around the room. Yeah, I mean, Kate just kicked in, by the way, with our trying to get out front next week fundraising drive. She said sending along a little walking around money for DC for when you're there and hanging with Mike Malloy and stuff. Much appreciated, Kate. Much appreciated indeed. And yes, I've got the response to Senator Snowball. Is that what we're going to call Jim Inhofe now, Senator Snowball?
Oh yeah, he's got to own it and wear it.
It's fitting, don't you think?
Oh, he so needs to be a hashtag. Before we go to Senator Snowball, I got a job for you. I got a job for you, Gerald, and this is going to be a first for you. We got a note from Robert in New South Wales, you know, Australia. He said it's 26 here in Sydney. Sorry, that's Celsius. That's 79 degrees Fahrenheit. Gerald,
I don't even want to do it.
No, you have to. Yeah. I mean, this is your first Trans-Pacific. Shut it.
Well,
think of it as our own little Trans-Pacific partnership. So Robert says it's 79 here in Sydney.
Shut it, Robert.
There we go. Let's see. Oh, we've made history.
Can I toss in a bite me?
Oh, but wait, there's a caveat. But it's overcast.
Oh, God forbid. It's been overcast here since December 2nd.
Oh, yeah, it's overcast here, too. I forgot to tell you.
Their summer's coming to an end.
Well, that's one thing about winter in Appalachia. It's pretty much overcast all the time.
You know, and that's absolutely the truth, because I used to say I don't think I could ever live in the Great Northwest, you know, Washington, Oregon, and it was pointed out to me a very long time ago. Hey, dumbass! It's gray and overcast and rainy there almost as much as it's gray and overcast and rainy in Appalachia. And it's true.
And at least you don't have to worry about the mountaintop.
Bob, when I first drove up into Oregon, I thought, I've arrived in Christmas tree land. Because there's forests and the trees and...
It is so pretty up there.
Oh, yeah. Oregon is something else.
Well, let's check out
That's
the...
one of those places where Jan, that where, you know, because she'll be...
Well, I was going to say, just stand by a minute, because I want to check out the response to Senator Snowball. This coming from one of the significantly more intelligent members of the United States Senate, namely Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. Stand by.
Senator from Rhode Island.
We'll yield the floor when the next speaker comes, but while we have a quiet moment, I just wanted to complete my remarks related to the senator from Oklahoma and his snowball. I'd like to ask unanimous consent that I show the Earth Now website on the iPad device that I have.
Without objection.
And if you go to Earth Now, it's actually quite easy to load, and you can see how that polar vortex measurably brings the cold air down to New England, where we are right now. And
just checking in, how many people think they lost Jim Inhofe at iPad? Or maybe website?
Yeah. I think it was the website.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to White
House. I don't even think it was the iPad. I think it was the website.
And if you don't want, and this is produced by NASA, right? These are pretty serious people. So you can believe NASA, and you can believe what their satellites measure on the planet, or you can believe the senator with the snowball.
Burn!
Ouch!
Oh, I mean, did Sheldon Whitehouse, in a very gentle, senatorially friendly way, just either call Jim Inhofe an idiot or a liar or possibly both?
You know that's going to leave a mark.
Both.
Yeah, that's one of those where you pull the cabinet right out into your head. Oh!
Wow.
Yeah, and he ain't even close to done. Stand by.
The United States Navy takes this very seriously, to the point where Admiral Locklear, who is the head of the Pacific Command, has said that climate change is the biggest threat that we face in the Pacific. He's a career military officer, and he is deadly serious. You can either believe the United States Navy, or you can believe the senator with the snowball.
Oh, that's twice.
If this didn't get a hashtag Senator Snowball going, nothing. Or you can believe the
senator with the snowball.
And you know, in 150 years ago, when there were a lot more senators in the Senate.
Or you can believe the senator with the snowball.
Yeah, 150, but more like 155 years ago, when there were a lot more senators in the Senate, like Senator Snowball. It probably would have come across the room trying to whack away on Senator Whitehouse with a stick or a sword cane or you pull tree when I call you out upon the field of honor. No, dumbass. No, Senator Snowball, I'll pass, thanks. Oh, this is rich.
The religious and faith groups are very clear on this, by and large. I would particularly salute the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, which has made very, very clear, strong statements, and we are going to hear more from Pope Francis about this when he releases his encyclical and when he speaks to the joint session of Congress on September 24th. And I think it will be quite clear that you can either believe the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and Pope Francis, or you can believe the senator with the snowball.
Oh, this is getting ugly.
Has John Stewart done anything with this one yet?
I don't know.
What the hell does he need to?
Yeah, this one's kind of right in itself.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. Because when did this happen? Was this yesterday or today?
Yesterday, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Sparky?
Yesterday.
Yeah, I believe it was yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
So did anybody watch The Daily Show last night? Oh, my God.
No,
he didn't pick up on it.
No, I'm guessing this has to wait till, like, Monday.
The senator with the snowball.
There's more.
We have to hashtag that to see this.
No, just hashtag Senator Snowball.
It gets better.
Oh, it gets better? Oh, goody. Let's move on.
In corporate America, there is an immense array of major, significant, intelligent, responsible corporations who are very clear that climate change is real. Companies like Coke and Pepsi, companies like Ford and GM and Caterpillar, companies like Walmart and Target, companies like VF Industries, which makes a wide array of clothing products, and Nike, companies like Mars and Nestle. So we have our choice. We can believe Coke and Pepsi and Ford and GM and Walmart and Target and VF Industries and Nike and Mars and Nestle, or we can believe the senator with the snowball. Every major American scientific society has put itself on record, many of them a decade ago, that climate change is deadly real. They measure it, they see it, they know why it happens. The predictions correlate with what we see as they increasingly come true, and the fundamental principles that it is derived from carbon pollution, which comes from burning fossil fuels, are beyond legitimate dispute, to the point where the leading scientific organization on the planet calls them unequivocal. So, you can believe every single major American scientific society, or you can believe the senator with the snowball.
That's damned rich.
Boom!
You know, I just...
The chat room says that was today.
Oh, was that today?
Sorry. That's what he said.
Okay, so I kind of wish he would have finished the job.
No, it was yesterday. I posted it last night on Facebook.
I thought it was.
Oh, yeah. The Twitters are having fun with it. Senator Snowball Inhofe didn't throw that snowball. It ran from him, not wanting to be associated with something dumber than it.
Well, Bob, what did Senator Clayhorn have to say about it? Do you remember him?
I don't remember him.
He was one of Fred Allen's character. The guy had that.
Oh yeah, yeah, the guy.
Little southern accent.
Yeah, the guy that Foghorn Leghorn was modeled on.
Yeah,
the character.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was a lot of guys like that in the Senate in those days. I mean, come on, in the House of Representatives, one of the House members got the crap beat out of him on the floor of the House. So, I don't know. This kind of craziness is not anything new, and that's what's so scary about it. Because the technology advances and the brain power goes backwards. It's not a good combination. And how do you convert people who are basically trying to make a living and they're preoccupied with, I mean, the whole credit thing is basically you buy all this good stuff and enslave yourself. Because my second wife, man, she could spend it faster than the government could print it. My first wife was as tight as I was, so that worked out pretty well. We were both tight ones. Save the money, then you buy something, you know? It's easy credit, yeah, that's another one of those. It's an everyday occurrence, but it's
way back in the day, we had a... And you just remember these things from your childhood because they stick. There was a very not pleasant to look at fellow in my youth. I mean, I'm talking about being a child and TV being TV, it sticks in your head. And he ran an implements and lawnmower company and yada yada called B.M. Ingram down in Alabama. And he said. And the tagline for every ad was, "And we'll deal with you on easy terms."
Yeah, exactly.
Easy.
Yeah,
you could get better terms from the loan shark down to the pool hall.
Yes, exactly.
And you'd be paying for that lawnmower.
I've been around the underbelly of this society a long time. I've seen many. I knew people with. Hell ahead of them, local branch of the Italian American Brotherhood, criminal branch. My uncle knew him very well. In fact, he arranged to fix a bribe that took my father out of jail because my father was arrested in 1946 with a pound of reefer. Hell, I'm a second generation pot smoker when I feel like smoking this stuff, which is not often anymore.
And you know what? One of the beautiful things is that in 2015 you can say that without worrying about the feds knocking down your door.
Oh yeah, they were quite well.
Or the Stadies, for that matter.
J. Edgar Hoover told us the mafia didn't exist. Of course not.
Well, he was well paid.
Because he was chasing those communists.
Yeah, well, and that takes me back to Senator Snowball. I kind of wish that Senator Whitehouse, but I guess they've got rules, would have finished the job. And by that I mean, I wish he would have said, you can either believe all of these people with all of these varied reasons for accepting real science, or you can believe the guy with the snowball who gets paid by the Koch brothers and the American Petroleum Institute to tell you lies. Because see, While a good zinger lets the blank be filled in by the mind of the listener, we're talking about an America that really isn't capable. A whole lot of America isn't capable of doing that anymore, and they have to be told the punchline.
But in the grand scheme of things, Bob, that was a clinic. I'd have to talk like a grown up.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm set. But that's just the way it is, you know.
Under the subject of climate change and that kind of stuff, can I make an announcement?
Do, please.
I have a meeting with a solar contractor tomorrow.
There you go.
to install ground mount solar panels out by the man cave. Don't know if it's going to happen or not, but they got a new program with zero down, so I'm just going to have to hear the spiel.
So you mean they've got easy terms?
Well, California's got all kinds of programs going on. I mean, Google even just with Solar City bested a bunch of money to use lease agreements and buybacks because they did it once and they made a shit pot full of money. Return on their investment, it worked out good. So they're doing it all over California, certain programs.
Right,
so
because y'all...
I just want to hear the spiel.
Y'all, well, I'd like to hear it, too, because, you know, at least y'all don't have the General Assembly out there trying to figure out ways to charge you for accessing the limitless, well, for all intents and purposes, limitless power of the sun. Hey, Gerald?
Yep.
What, I mean, that one screw the people using solar bill was sitting on Earl Ray's desk. Is it still sitting there, or did he sign?
You know, I was kind of wrapped up in this other one, the drug testing, the pores.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to find that here. But look, I wanted to do this one real quick. I'm looking at the Gazette article here today, and it's talking about drug testing welfare recipients and how it's wasteful and unnecessary. Most of us already know that. In 2013, and I hate to bring this back to a local issue, but 2013, West Virginia spent $29 million on TANF. And that's an acronym for, I can't remember what
Temporary Assistance to Needy Families.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the current projected costs, the drug testing program, which is going to be over a three-county area, would cost over $600 per cash assistance recipient. To put that into perspective, the maximum monthly benefit amount for a family of three in West Virginia is only $340. Currently, yeah.
Oh, they're going to make them pay for it?
Yes, it's going to come out of their monthly check, and if they test negative, they will be reimbursed.
Yeah, I mean that's always the way they played it in Florida. But basically, I don't understand how that doesn't constitute an unconstitutional taking without due process of law.
Well, I think it probably will, ultimately. But just a couple more quick numbers I want to throw here. In the 2013 numbers, there were 4,065 adults in West Virginia on cash assistance, which I would have thought would have been much higher, and 4,918 children. So we're going to pay $600 per recipient who can only draw $340. Well, actually, they can't even draw that on their own. That's per family. So.
Yeah, and but you understand, Gerald, the reason, and that way it just keeps them from getting the money.
Well.
And what happens if and what happens if you get, because these tests are not perfect, what happens if you get one that happens to be a false positive?
Well, why do I have to pay for it? Why do you have to pay for it?
Right. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you said you would have expected there would have been a lot more people on assistance than that. Well, this is
actually
where,
I did.
This is where you change from thanks Obama to thanks Clinton. Only it's not sarcasm; it's real. That's
well, yeah.
That's the welfare reform of 1995.
Oh, I remember
because
that.
Remember and because the remember back then Bill told us, and it seems like only yesterday somehow Bill told us that the era of big government was over. You know, screw you, Bill. The further I get away from him, the more I love it. Really? I mean, because I guess he was trying to stem the tide against some of the crazier Gingrich Republicanitis, but the stuff that he gave in on was big stuff. Glass-Steagall, Telecommunications Act of 1996, welfare reform. You know, damn.
NAFTA.
NAFTA. GATT. Most favored trading and most favored nation trading status for China permanently. You know, it used to be we had to review that every now and then and find out how many people the Chinese government had harvested for their organs or shot in cold blood in Tiananmen Square,
or, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe in the modern era we would have checked out to see how many people had committed suicide at the essentially slave labor factories. But, you know, no more. No, we don't.
Do you remember the solar number, the bill, the solar number bill?
I had it up, but I don't now. I know a friend of mine was real worried about it.
Let me look it up.
But he,
let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, the point of that being that, or the upshot of that being, you know, y'all aren't doing that to solar users yet, Sparky, and you at least value solar users. Here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, people who have solar energy are viewed with real suspicion and almost outright hostility, especially by the power company. And what this bill, which has passed, I believe, both houses and sits on the governor's desk, or may have been signed by now, what it does is it imposes charges on solar users for the trouble that they put the power company to by using the sun to create energy.
That's what they do in Missouri.
Yeah. And Carol, you might recall that at the big Koch meeting, the last big Koch meeting before this one, they declared that was going to be their priority, was making solar unaffordable to average Americans and unaccessible.
Right. And that's why I haven't made any moves towards going toward solar, because it basically, for all the money you put into it, it gets canceled out and the penalties.
Well, but there's one way in which it doesn't. The problem is it's manifestly more expensive, but it's the hand that they're forcing on us. Now, what we need is an Elon Musk and a few other, you know, hey, George Soros. Oh, George. Or some, you know, real entrepreneurial billionaires. And we got them. We've got them. To make this accessible. The way you get around this, you know what? The power company cannot charge you if you're not connected to the power company. And it is not impossible to get completely off the grid.
Right.
But you've got to have a huge bank of batteries, and you've got to be able to store the electricity and then use it.
Yep.
Whereas most people using solar are merely using it to augment, you know, the service they're getting from their local utilities. But what these cocksuckers, or coke whores, I guess we could call them, what they're doing is they recognize that solar is a real and profound threat to the ginormous public service commission granted monopolies that are electric power companies. Because see, in a place like California, or for that matter, oddly enough, Germany, when you've got a whole bunch of solar panels on a whole lot of roofs, then you've actually got an electrical grid that begins to be smart. And so you don't have, you know, you don't have massive brownouts anymore. And suddenly the power company doesn't have a reason to go toddling off to the Public Service Commission saying, "We're poor. We need a rate increase." Nope.
Please,
okay,
can we have more?
From somebody, can we have more, please? Now, here's one of the tweets. How can anyone care about the dress or Senator Snowball when Leonard Nimoy just passed? Seriously, people, priorities.
Exactly.
And I don't understand this one. I don't have the background on it, but Marty just pointed something out. He said, and maybe listeners in Florida can help in this regard. Apparently in Florida, Marty says, the Kochs enlisted the black community to torpedo renewable energy. Figure that one out.
Huh? What? Are these the same black people that the Mormon church went to out here in California for Prop 8? Because, you know, in defense of marriage, when black people don't get married, I'm saying. Yeah, I said it.
I honestly don't know.
No, but that was one of the big places they went when the Mormon church was out here, you know, with the whole Prop 8 thing. they specifically went to black churches. I mean, and
because black evangelical fundamentalist Christianity is a hotbed of homophobia. It just is.
I know this. This is why it's so funny. I was discussing this in one of my classes, and how I have no issue saying that I am, because people say, well, you know, it took you so long to come out. I said, well, first of all, I didn't come out because I was never closeted. I fell in love. I said, this is just, I came into a new awareness about myself. How about that? And I said, but even in my new awareness, and I'm not at all ashamed, but I am very careful about who I say who I am around when it comes around my friends, some of my black friends and my family, or just black people. Well, my friends and family know, but I'm just saying the black people in general that I just meet and get the conversations with, I'm very guarded because, you know, remember the story I told, you know, when Jan and I were looking for vendors. And the woman, you know, we had a wonderful conversation. She was going to do a photo booth for the wedding. And I was excited because I finally found a black vendor. And my photographer referred her to us. She knew that it was a lesbian wedding. And then, you know, I hired her without even, you know, you're hired. I don't have to meet you. We're great. And so then I called her to give her more business. And just so happens it wasn't another gay wedding. It was just my high school reunion. And I heard a distinct chill in her voice. And I said, you know, she goes, well, you know, I can't do your wedding. And me being me, I said, oh, okay, no problem. It's because of the distance. And she's like, well, no. And I said, okay, well, that's no problem. And she said, well, you know why? I said, no, because I was fine. I knew why, but she had to go.
No, but hell wouldn't hold her till she had told you that you were going to. Yeah. Roast in lesbian hell or something?
Oh, no, honey, no. It was better because, of course, when I talk about my happiness, I also am very quick to include that I'm a Christian. And so with that, she said that I should, you know, as a Christian, I should know better that I was an abomination. And so... the abominator came out. I said, oh. I said, because I was going to leave her alone. I was like, you know, it's your business. You can do whatever you want. But she had the nerve to call me an abomination. So I had to whip out my Bible. And I said, okay, it makes me think of Cleavon Little. Excuse me while I whip this out. But anyway, so I asked her, well, have you ever had a shrimp cocktail, boo? I said, have you ever worn a cotton poly blend? Have you ever wore pants? Have you ever spoken out in church as a woman? But most importantly and last but definitely not least, did you fornicate with your husband before you got married? Because all these things, sweetheart, are an abomination. And I said, sin is sin, irrespective of sin. So one sin is no greater than another sin. So if I'm burning in hell for being in love for the first time in my life and very happy, then, girl, God help you for going, because you're going to hell for eating a shrimp cocktail. And then I hung up.
Good on you.
You know, it was like, and like you said, in the black community, it's one of those things where, and I'm just going by on what I know and my experience as growing up, I don't know, black. And by no shape, form, or fashion am I speaking for the entire black community. I'm speaking on my own. But from what I'm seeing, since black people in general are so put upon and treated like, you know, we're, you know, the low man on the totem pole, we have to have somebody to hate. And or the Bible, since, you know, the Bible can't be used to justify slavery anymore, it can't be justified. Can't use it to justify hating women and keeping women down. So what else are you going to find for it? Hating a group of people, and let's let those people be the homosexuals. Gotta love the Bible.
Oh, and by the way, I have Marty provided an answer from February 9th to the thing about Florida. Stand by for that. I need to send thanks out, though, real quick. Thank you very kindly. to our buddy Texas T in the Horn chat room for helping out this evening. We're now only 30 bucks away from making this evening's fundraising goal. And then hopefully somewhere out there, maybe somebody wants to do a Have a Show on Me and get the Hooterville Holler gift basket or any combination, 5, 10, doesn't matter. But just so we can get out front on next week, because on at least 2 days there will be no programs whatsoever. So that means that's an automatic $300 fundraising hole right there. I'm sorry to talk about this stuff. It galls me to talk about it, but it's the only way that we keep all of this stuff going. So my apologies, but by the same token, you know, it's real. But here's the answer.
And you guys,
go ahead.
I love packing those boxes. I love packing those boxes, Bob. So,
well, Carol, you do
filling it in.
You do a hell of a job packing those boxes. I've been on the receiving end of those boxes, and I mean, they could go through a war zone and come through okay.
You're a giver,
well,
Carol.
That bottle of wine, or excuse me, meat marinade.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
No.
That got to you.
I'm sorry. That I just got that. That oh my God.
I know that baby wasn't going anywhere.
and you know what? I wish Tracy that there was not so much distance between the two of us, because you and I might sit down and have a come to Jesus moment over that bottle of wine, because. Meat marinade. Because that meat marinade, that is peach jalapeno meat marinade.
Oh my God. Well, hey, Bob, I'm good. Peach jalapeno. You gotta say it right.
Yeah,
Bob.
Baby.
Jalapeno.
Oh, I'm sorry, is it jalapeno?
Well, I say it's jalapeno, but you know, us country, I have a slight twang, and I know every so often it comes out, even though I've lived here all my life, but my folks are from the country. So every so often it comes out, and I'll say jalapeno, and people look at me like, what? It's jalapeno. I'm like, whatever, it's jalapeno. Leave me alone.
Fletcher, Felcher, whatever.
Look. When people try to correct me, I had a white person who is a friend of mine try to correct me on the way I speak sometimes. And I had to breathe, because I did not really want to hurt her feelings too badly, because I do love her. But I had to say, because she's like, you know, why do you speak like that? You're so educated. Why did everybody get quiet? So I said to her, I said, you know, let me just tell you a little something. First of all, don't you ever dare correct me on the way I speak. And also, you should be flattered as a white person that I am comfortable enough about us and our friendship that I could just be who I am. And that was that.
Well, I did want to provide the background on this, because just like you, Tracy, I kind of went, what? When Marty mentioned this, this is an L.A. Times article going back to February 9th of this year. The headline on it is, Minority Groups Back Energy Companies in Fight Against Solar Power. Evan Halper is the author. Yeah, you might want to grab the hockey puck here. When Florida official... No, look for a soft place to land. When Florida officials pulled the plug on a significant incentive for rooftop solar systems, the move came at the urging of big power companies with a heavy reliance on fossil fuels and of the state chapter of the NAACP. The Florida chapter is one of a number of minority organizations that have aligned with utilities. Their backing has given power companies a potent ally in their fight to slow the spread of solar energy installations. The groups are pressing their case aggressively, even as the National NAACP and other large civil rights organizations back solar incentives, arguing they are key to shutting down dirty power plants that contribute to elevated rates of asthma and other diseases in low-income communities. By the way, and I don't know what the ethnicity is, but just a few miles away from me in the last few days, a 17-year-old young woman dropped dead of asthma. Just saying.
Just
and that has something to do with the particulates, you know, in the air. That's what makes asthma attacks happen. Anyway, down in Florida, the groups that have lined up on the utility side are showing up in legislative hearing rooms, regulatory proceedings, and on newspaper op-ed pages to make the case that what they call unjust incentives favoring the wealthy undermine the virtues of solar power. Low-income households, they say, are paying higher electric bills to subsidize solar arrays that only wealthier people can afford. Competing environmental justice groups say other economics are at play, pointing to generous campaign and charitable contributions that utilities have made to some groups. So, yeah, guess what? The big power companies wrote a great big money check to the Florida NAACP, and the Florida NAACP said, solar power hurting poor people of color, which is, of course, a drop-dead lie. In a place like Florida, why shouldn't big power companies be incentivized to put solar in on their own in replacement of the dirty fossil fuels that disproportionately poison members of the low-income community, many of whom are often people of color?
Of color. Yet another reason for me not to go to Florida.
Since we've segued back into that, I found the bill.
Oh, yes, Gerald?
It's a House bill, HB 2201.
That sounds like it.
Requiring the Public Service Commission to adopt certain net metering and interconnection rules and standards.
Net metering generally is a good thing.
Yeah, but not in this.
But since it was handled by teabaggers, you know, anything a teabagger touches turns to poop.
That bill has been vetoed.
Did he veto it?
Yeah, I remember now that he vetoed two there the day before yesterday for technical reasons. It was vetoed by the governor on the 24th. The House can House reconsider his action on the 26th, reported to recommit the bill. It has been amended to meet the objection of the governor.
What was his objection?
All I read in that was there was some kind of technical problem with it. No theys or these or twos or froes.
It had some religious tenets in it.
It might have
geniuses.
Been. Effective from passage on 2/26, and it was communicated to the Senate. So I guess it will go. It will go to the governor as soon as they vote on it. The Senate votes on it. So it's already been back through the House again.
And so once they get the religious tenets out of it or whatever it is, it's going to go through, and solar users in West Virginia are going to be screwed.
Yes.
Oh, God. The world is coming to an end.
In other completed legislation, really the hot ones, Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. It is completed legislation awaiting the governor's signature. Now, he did veto such a bill last session.
And you know what? They got it through. It could be that if he vetoes it again, they won't have time to have an override vote.
But I bet they do.
Surely these urine-colored, snake flag-waving patriots can count days without having to take their shoes off and drop their pants.
Well, you know, I was thinking this just yesterday. They've been wasting an awful lot of time on this non-discrimination bill, or whatever you want to call it.
I prefer to call it the potty bill, because that's what
it is.
Well,
the House is wasting a lot of time on it, on debate and opinion. The Senate's already said, you know, Mitch Carmichael said, we're not doing it when you send it to us. So they've wasted 2 days on it already. But anyway, to get off the local stuff.
Well, no. But see, it's not local stuff. Let me extend personal thanks, Tracy, to you for finishing off fundraising for the evening. Much obliged
Thank
and
you.
Much
no,
appreciated.
No worries.
So,
hey, I had a little extra coin in the pocket. I could do that. It's a $30 I can do.
So hopefully in the next 35 minutes or so, we can at least knock out another day of broadcasting next week. It'd be nice if we could knock out two or three, or dare I hope four, and then just have a regular Friday on the front porch to come back to this coming Friday. So thank you very much, one and all. Let's see, a couple of things to go back to. We lost Kevin and Bill for a little bit, but I've been working behind the scenes here to get them back. Do we have you, Bill?
Oh, you've got the fat old guy back here.
Okay, so
hey, Tracy, could you mute your mic?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking for something in my car. I can't find my keys.
Yeah, those mics are really good.
This is my Bluetooth, and I'm really shocked, but I will mute until I find what I'm looking for.
All right, bless your heart. Thank you. Let's see. I was gonna go. I know where I was gonna go. I was kind of surprised. It's gonna be a bit very busy, very frankly tiresome week coming up. This ain't a vacation to Washington D.C. by any stretch of the imagination. Guy James and Malloy are both going to get on an aeroplane and fly north, and that's, you know, airline travel is its own little season in hell. Ferg and I are driving. So we'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, home Friday, and then I will. Then on Saturday there is, and I know Gerald knows about it. There's a rally in Charleston. And I posted something over at a Facebook page called West Virginia Workers Rally, and that's what it's being called, right, Gerald? It's a rally for West Virginia workers.
Yes, I do believe that's what it's called.
And thank you for the like, by the way. But I just posted something there, and it's been surprisingly well received, or maybe not surprisingly. But I said over there, I want to make something clear. I don't belong to a union. God knows I wish I did. AFTRA would be nice. I want to make something clear. I don't belong to a union. But I'm a progressive, damn it. And I'm going to be there because labor is the mother church of progressivism in our country. And as a progressive, I owe a debt to organized labor that I can never begin to repay. If these Republicans get their way, there will be no stopping them. Regardless of whether one is from labor, women's rights, reproductive rights, minority rights, or environmental justice. A harm to one is a harm to all. It was true at the beginning of the last century, and it remains true to this day. I only hope other progressives in West Virginia come to that understanding as well. And I mean, that really is, and I would say this isn't West Virginia specific. Gerald keeps apologizing for talking about local stuff. Don't. Because this isn't, well, okay, it is. All politics is local. And just about everywhere in this country, working people are under assault from the right wing. From the teabaggers, from the birthers, the deathers, the ninthers, the tenthers, the booger eaters, the baggers, the libertarians, the birchers, the Republicans. This clavern that they're having near Washington D.C. These last couple of days is underneath it all is nothing but cheap labor conservatism. Scratch any one of them, no matter what their special issue is, it ain't nothing but about cheap labor. And so everybody who works for a living, everybody who works for an hourly wage, hey, you work for a salary, you're under attack too. And this is something that I've argued for years, and by God, it apparently can never be repeated enough. There is nobody in this country who is a progressive person who does not owe a debt to labor. Rosa Parks would never have done what she did had she not been taught the principles that enabled her to do it at the Highlander Labor School in East Tennessee. And that was set up for labor rights. And then those tactics were transferred into minority civil rights. Women's reproductive health. Equal rights for women. The equal pay issue. And yeah, even it's kind of weird for me coming from the environmental justice community, such as it is. I mean, I keep insisting it's human rights. But even though it seems like we are diametrically opposed to people like the United Mine Workers, these things still arise out of the activism of working people finally beginning to band together and stand together against the oppression, against the repression, against the abuse, against the bloodthirsty, murderous practice of capital in this country. And we seem to have a hard time comprehending it. So that's why I'm saying it again. Because at the end of the day, and I hate that phrase too, in the final analysis, there's no such thing as labor rights. There's no such thing as women's rights. There's no such thing as minority rights or environmental rights. They are all human rights. And it was the working people who were being abused and killed and stood up first and foremost and have stood up ever since, who have enabled the rest of us to propel other issues into the realm of human rights. And so it's going to be, because I'm going to bust my hump to get up on Saturday morning and get down the mountain and get to that rally. Because what's that old saying? If we do not stand together, we shall surely hang separately.
Yes, sir.
I think it starts at 11, doesn't it?
Yeah, which means leaving about leaving about 8:30 for me, because if I'm hoping it's going to be such a huge crowd, parking's going to be a problem.
I just wanted to add to what you said there. What you said is 100% true. And this, make no mistake about, this is not a union or non-union thing. It's got nothing to do whether you belong to a labor union or not. These are attacks upon the working class of this state and of the whole country, as a matter of fact. When you degrade the collective bargaining of one, you degrade it for everyone. When you bring the union wages down, you bring everyone else's wages down. And anyone that doesn't think that just needs to look back through the history just a little bit, less than 100 years, and you'll surely find your answer. One good reprisal, I see a note I've gotten here, the prevailing wage bill here in West Virginia, the repeal of the prevailing wage, that there was a compromise made, and they have pushed that deadline back to September 30th of this year, which was July 1st, for the three agencies that are going to be involved in calculating the new prevailing wage. That's not good, but it's better. So, take from that what you will. But it just seems like there is...
Still a loss.
Yeah, it's still a loss. But it just seems that there is an extreme hatred of the working class in this country by the elites, and I do not understand why.
Well, wait. I mean, there's not much to not understand, Gerald. I'm not trying to be an asshole about it or anything, but the elites have always hated the working class in this country. The thing is, what makes it different now is that those elites have, over the course of a generation, managed to get the working class, or some either plurality or majority of them, to hate themselves and hate their fellow workers, their brothers and sisters. You know, there's a reason that the labor movement adopted that particular language, brothers and sisters, because it is the kind of commonality that arises out of a shared family struggle. A person working for $10 an hour at Walmart has absolutely nothing apart from maybe basic chromosomal gene structure in common with the goddamned Walton heirs. But that person has tons of things in common with a person, with a day laborer standing out in front of the Home Depot who may be here in undocumented circumstances has everything in common with that person. Well, I'm American. Now, see, no, you're picking the wrong thing. You're both working for a living. But look at the screeches about, we got to secure the border and we got to send these 11 million people back, because then I'm going to have a $25 an hour job swabbing Charles Koch's turlet.
Yeah.
And cutting his grass.
Well, I remember when Jim Rose, our great governor, the hero of the bastard of Kent State, when he was first running for governor, he lost the first time, but he was on the radio, and every other word out of his mouth was a put-down for what he called Hoffa, Reuther, and Company, meaning labor unions.
Right.
And he was pushing for the right-to-work law. I was sad that it just has to be 35 years ago. I mean, I can't remember everything, but it was a long time ago. And at that point in time, I said, he lost his first run. He lost to a guy named Michael DeSalle from, had been mayor of Toledo. Toledo was a great creator of glass in its day, you know. Now it's poor country. Because these states will follow each other. Cleveland used to be a basket of stuff, yeah.
Bill, you mentioned right to work there. Here was something that I found very...
I think they just passed it under this, you know.
Well, it's they're trying to do it everywhere. But something that I found extremely interesting several months ago, my own union did a poll of their own members. And they're calling members all over the country, and they say, hey, you know, we've got this right to work legislation that's coming up in your state. And it actually was in Indiana when it happened. And they were polling the membership. And they said, how do you feel about right to work? It was an astonishing number of union members who were all for it. They said, oh, yeah, right to work, that's great. Hey, you know, everybody's got a right to work. They said, well, now, wait a minute. Do you know what it actually means? And when they explained it to them, they were, oh, well, the hell no. No, hell no, I don't want that. So, see, there's a lot of ignorance, and intentionally so. People don't really know what it means. And that's why, well, everybody's got a right to work, you know. And they think they equate right to work with a right to a job. I'm sorry. I'm rambling on.
And you know, who do we blame for that? Do we blame the other side for having a well-organized, well-funded messaging machine, Gerald, or do we look to ourselves for the failure to have something similar?
Well, that's a good question, Bob, because I know within my own union, within my own local, there's tremendous effort to get people out to vote, and they are just more or less, screw you, I don't care.
I used to have to constantly educate people on the job site, get them to come to union meetings, try and educate them about stuff, right to work. When I was an organizer, you know, it was right at the time that Pete Wilson was doing the prevailing wage battle. We had to battle that out. I had to go out and talk to non-union people about it, explain it to them. I mean, you won't make this kind of money if Pete Wilson gets his way on these jobs anymore, you know.
Well, that's the sad thing about it, Sparky. You're right. And we did phone banks.
Oh, all our members.
And you know, hey, you know, we really need you to get up. Nah, fuck it. I ain't voting. Don't call me anymore.
I've done door knocks, walk precincts. Well, you get a California Labor Fed, give you a list of people to go out and knock on their doors and everything. I mean, when Prop 226 came along, man, everybody, we mobilized every union, their cops. I mean, we had a meeting in our union hall in Reading. I've never seen people come to a central labor council meeting before like these people did. I mean, we had cops in uniform, firefighters. Everybody turned out because they knew what it was about. And it was kind of a right to work kind of thing. But Boy, yeah. I'm just glad today is end of the month. The last business day of the month is my pension payday. And that's what I loved about being in the union, because I get the rewards now.
Yeah, and see what makes it. I'm sorry, somebody was going to say something.
Hi, Bob. It's Larry.
Hey, Larry.
I haven't been in since you had the discussion with Barb there, and I asked about Tracy, and I've been on with Pacific Gas and, well, Pacific Gas and Electric.
Go ahead and say it, Larry. Pacific Gas and Extortion.
Pacific Grafted Extortion. That's right. In any case, there was a court decision, Harris v. Quinn, and when I heard this organizer, she said what it is that a bunch of these home care workers voted so that they don't have to pay dues to the union. They didn't want to pay dues to the union. And then it was further clarified, it's not that they don't have to pay dues to the union, it's that they don't have to pay dues to the union for political purposes. So I don't understand what's going on there. And then secondly, about the home care workers union, the union has been negotiating all of this stuff with the state, and they haven't really done anything to develop the infrastructure like they have with trade unions, where trade unions have a union hall, and whereby the people that are part of the home care workers union are organized enough to be able to know where to go to the union hall, to be able so that they really know what the union's doing, what the union administration is doing on their behalf, because the home care workers are spread out; they're not necessarily organized. So I'm wondering what could be done. First of all, I want to know if I understand the situation correctly, and secondly, if home care workers aren't organized well enough, or if a lot of the people who are home care workers are family care work caregivers, then how can you organize the workers along a trade union model so that they can come to the union hall and be able to have meetings and be able to do the voting and be able to hold their leadership up in Sacramento, the five different unions or whatever, hold them accountable? Because right now it looks like the union bosses are just doing stuff, and most people are paying dues, and they don't even know what the union bosses are doing. They just get a postcard in the mail that says, we've done this for you, or come out and we're going to do a demonstration. So people are not really aware. So I was wondering about that, Gerald and Duncan and Bob. What can you do
Larry, can I educate you a little bit?
Yeah.
Years ago, there was a decision. I think it was in National Labor Relations Board. It's called the Beck decision.
Okay.
No union member could be forced to have their dues go to political funds. So
that was part of Taft-Hartley, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. All I remember is the Beck decision. So you could go into your local and request your political donation be refunded to you if the union had made any. I had a guy walk in, and he got all hot with me. He says, "I want my political donation back for my union dues." And I said, "Oh, right." I took my wallet out and I handed him a $5 bill. And he goes, "What's this?"
That's exactly what
happened. And I says, "You never go to union meetings, do you? Because we voted to put $5 into the COPE fund, which is a campaign for political action thing. It's like a PAC thing that the unions had to come up with. I mean, some local unions have like raffles, and they put prizes to get political campaign money. And I know my local now in Sacramento, they have big raffle drawings and all this stuff, and they auction off shit. Or I mean, you buy a ticket, and if you win, you win this thing, but you for a buck or whatever. But every union meeting, they do that.
I had the same experience, Sparky. I was a union steward on a job, and as part of that, we have signed referrals for everybody that comes out. And part of that is a checkoff for the PAC money. And it's like $2 a week or something like that. I don't remember how much it was. It wasn't very much. 10 cents an hour, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a guy who'd been a member for a long time, and I said, you know, I need you to fill this out and sign it for me. And he filled it all out but that part. I said, wait, you know, you're going to do this? He said, no, that's voluntary. I said, all right. And I never said anything else. They kept on taking the money out of his check. But I called the BA. I said, you know, what the hell? He said, I don't know. He said, I'll just pay that out of my damn pocket if I have to. I said, well, you know, I don't understand. But he said, some people are just that headstrong. He said, you know, we had actually done a lot of things for him. You know, he had gotten special. He had a disability, and he had been taken care of by the local. We'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know. But yeah, I always thought that was part of Taft-Hartley about the PAC money, the political money. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, all I remember it's been so. I mean, I've slept since then. But it's called the Beck decision.
How does Mercedes or any of the other people that are part of SEIU or any of the other unions in California, how can they hold their union, you know, put a check and balance on what their union is doing if their union might be doing something that they don't particularly like?
Elections.
But they're plain and simple, they don't elections. Have elections. They don't.
They sure don't, they do.
They got to. Somebody
they can't. They can't not.
But how is it that these union bosses are going up and making these deals with the state, and the people don't even know who the union bosses are? They have no idea who they are.
When you think you're getting screwed over by the union bosses, you vote their asses out. You find somebody that thinks like you do, and you campaign for
what them. Local is she in?
She's in SEIU 6434, Long-Term Care Workers Union. Long-term care.
Find it online.
Yeah. Okay, it's in L.A.
Okay, so I want to shift gears for a minute here, if I could, please, okay. as we wind up the program. First of all, as I noted, Tracy finished off this evening's fundraising, and Kate helped out as well. Thank you very kindly, Kate. Thank you, Texas T. That was hugely helpful, and of course, with this being the last program of February, Randy's always first in under the wire on the new month, so thank you, Randy, as well. Mark helped out and got us started on another day's worth of programming. Thank you very kindly, Mark. And all that having been said, you know, hopefully this will continue over the weekend, because, you know, traveling like this, you know, I fret. But anyway, there's something I want to sort of wrap up the program with, and it's kind of tender, and it's kind of sad, and it's touching, too, because this is a matter of trying to reach out to the Horn Family Commune congregation to be a real help. We heard from Barbie earlier this evening, and she was traveling. And of course, she was talking about, she said she'd had a rough couple of weeks. Well, one of those was what she was talking about in terms of finding out that her son, who had been twice deployed to the hellhole that is the Middle East, the hellhole we made, mind you, he went to drill and wound up in California somewhere. Can't say where, don't know when he's going to be, any of that. Well, the other thing that made the week particularly awful was that Barbie's beloved golden retriever died.
Oh,
and Barbie is crushed. And I know how badly that can hurt. And Barbie and Carol have been casting about trying to find a golden retriever puppy. And it has not worked out well at all. Am I saying anything improperly here, Carol or Barbie?
No, we've been trying to even, you know, reach out to them. Essentially, they won't. There are no dogs, no golden retrievers in our area or in our immediate area. They won't do out-of-state adoptions. I've reached out to a couple of people who said they had puppies and they were scam artists who were like, oh, yeah, great, just send us the money. So we're just a little frustrated, and I'm thinking that here in a couple of weeks when the weather breaks, that's when a lot of the groups are going to start having puppies. So I just want to get a line on one. I don't have any objections to buying a dog. I'd rather rescue one, but that's not in the cards.
Okay.
And
so,
I just wanted to reach out to them
so,
get their eyes out.
Yeah, so here's the direct ask. If anybody in the Horn Family Commune congregation knows of or has a connection to golden retriever puppies, please contact me, and I will pass that contact information immediately along to both Carol and to Barbie. We make our jokes and everything. This is not, however, an insubstantial community. Wait.
Okay.
So if people know of anywhere they can be found, or has a personal connection to somebody that you know is a reputable breeder, or knows of we got to get a golden retriever puppy for Barbie, because frankly this isn't just, oh, my dog died, I'm so sad, I have to have a new dog. This isn't that at all. Carol, you wanna help me here a little bit?
I don't think I can.
What about?
Go ahead, Larry.
What about canine companions?
I don't know. We're not gonna go off in the weeds here in the middle of the, in the heart of the program on it. But the ask is simply there.
Send her dog.
It's the bottom line. My sister is disabled. She's lost her dog. She doesn't know where her son is. She doesn't ask much of this life. I want her to have her dog.
And Carol has been trying to move heaven and earth to find one. I've been following it on her Facebook page. Many of you have as well, and it has been an ordeal from hell. Like I said, we make our jokes, but this is a not insubstantial community. And so, Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid @gmail.com. Send me an email if you've got a lead, if you know someone, something like that, and I will get it to Barbie and Carol yesterday. Go ahead, Sparky.
Listen, I got new life living in the canopy of my man cave. A dove built a nest, laid two eggs, and they both hatched yesterday.
Oh.
And they're the cutest little things. I had to get my ladder out to take a look at them today. They take up the whole nest. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're as big as the nest.
Wow. So, Carol, if somebody reaches out to me, I'll pass you the contact information, and you run with it from there. Okay.
I appreciate it. I really do.
Oh no, I love for us to have these. I love it when we have a chance to prove that we're something more than. Just some radio show, that we really are a community of people who reach out and care for the members inside our community. I think it's a beautiful thing.
We're all givers.
Yeah, and this is one of those chances.
Five or six that were abandoned around Cleveland, and I took them home. Damn. I'm a dog sucker, man. I can't have any now, but I sure do. I miss mine all to hell. My walls were plastered with pictures of those animals. I can't say enough. Two of my dogs ran somebody out of my house one night. Kept them from getting in, so. And I was too drunk to get up and shoot anyway, so it's a good thing I probably would have shot myself. Anyway, I'll shut up.
We never did hear from Haley tonight.
No, Haley, you've been awfully quiet.
I have, and I had the conversations being interesting and enjoyed listening. But I just wanted to just a couple of points. I hope everything works out with the search for the dog, the new dog, and that, you know, the people that can donate next week to keep the horn going will do so, because it's going to be kind of a long week. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm trying to get out in front of all of this is because, getting out on the road in what is still pretty damn brutal weather is kind of nervous making. And like I said, the way it all plays out, you know, they're paying for the hotel, and they will reimburse on travel, but I got to do that on the front end. So, and then you know, meals. Things like that, no, they don't cover. So that's, you know, that's what that is, just so everybody understands. But I guess it's time to get out of here. As usual, Friday on the Front Porch flies by. This one has. A reminder, the conversation will continue in a non-broadcast fashion, especially at about 12:05, you know, 5 minutes past midnight, Eastern time, when Malloy closes up shop. The offline version is almost even more fun than the online version, and I invite people to participate. It's a whale of a community, and it gets going in a big way, especially right after Malloy goes off the air. Thank you, everyone, who have worked so hard to make this February not a disaster. Thank you very much for all your help this evening and every day of this month and every day of every month. Thank you for all of you who share your precious finite time on this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe in sharing collegiality and common cause with this community. Thank you, one and all. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you very kindly to John Fox, our engineer, webmaster, and general keeper of Bob's technical sanity. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHEACT.org. I'm hoping to get some ache work done while I'm in D.C. as well, because God knows it's work that needs to be done. And, again, broadcast schedule live noon to 3 on Tuesday and Wednesday next week in D.C., okay? And then we will repeat the program in the usual slot. And, of course, always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody.